how to get through what you're going through. Welcome to Peace from Broken Pieces with Iyanla Van Zandt.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Happy calendar change to you. Most people would say Happy New Year, but then again, I am Iyanla Van Zandt. As always, delighted to be spending time loving and living space, joy, love, and today, romance with you. I do hope that your day is going well. I don't know where you are in the world, but where I am, it's nice and sunny, and there's a little snow on the ground from yesterday that didn't melt. We had this incredible, unexpected flurry of snow that was supposed to pass over, and it ended up dropping snow on the ground. So it's really, really winter, although it's 52 degrees. It's really, really winter. And for those of you out there that get into this warm weather and you see that it's 50 or 60 degrees, so you put your shorts back on, hey, it's still winter. Even if the sun is out or the temperature's high, it's in the air. So avoid flu and cold and congestion and all that wonderfulness by dressing like you know it's December. Oh, actually, it's January. Just like you know it's January, wherever you are. Okay. So how has life been treating you? Listen, you have got to go to the Inner Visions website. You have got to. Let me tell you what's going on there. First of all, to all of you who have signed up for the Abundance Program, good for you. Good for you. So I hope that you have begun and that you're enjoying it. We have lots of support for you also if you are doing the Abundance Program. Inner Visions is offering a six-week teleclass series. We have a lot of them, but there's one called Prosper Us. Prosper Us. Not prosperous, but Prosper Us. And this teleclass is run by Reverend Elise Welsh, who is a coach trained at the Inner Visions Institute, and she'll be supporting you in getting in touch with all of the divine principles and consciousness about prosperity and abundance and wealth so that you change your mind in order to change your life. So you go to the www.innervisionsworldwide.com, go to Life Academy and look for Prosper Us. Look for that. If you're in the Washington, D.C., Baltimore, Virginia area, I will be teaching a class, a live class, and I don't do private coaching anymore, okay? But I'm teaching this live class. Step into the new you. This is a six-week class that I'm co-facilitating with another coach, Coach Robert Pruitt. Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful coach. And we're going to be working with you in creating a vision and committed action steps in six areas of your life. So if you get to the Inner Visions website, look up, step into the new you. Since we've had a calendar change, we can, do some new things. Also, please go to the free stuff link on the Inner Visions website page. And I just created a wonderful document on how to create a daily spiritual practice. You know, I say that to you all the time. Have a daily spiritual practice. Have a daily spiritual practice. Get a daily spiritual practice. And I've gotten some letters and people say, well, what is that? And how do you do it? So now you can go to the Inner Visions website and download free our how to create a daily spiritual practice. We talk about the barriers to it, some things that you can do, and the purpose and the function of it. So that's something that you just want to put in your little spiritual toolbox. How to create a daily spiritual practice. Also, something I'm really excited about. I don't know if you've ever heard of Emmett Fox. I think we've discussed it here on the show. Emmett Fox and his Golden Key process. It's an ancient, ancient process. I say ancient because he wrote it back in the 40s. Okay, that's ancient. So anyway, we have the Golden Key Prayer Mind Treatment Process. Ooh, just delicious. Give me a fork. At the Inner Visions website, so you can download that to support you with your Abundance Program. Or if you're going to take a Life Academy class, or if you just want to enhance your daily spiritual practice. So look up Prosper Us. Also look up all you clutter bugs, raise your hand. If you've got clutter holding on to things since 56, because you think you might need it. Okay. We have another wonderful teleclass. This coach is phenomenal. She is phenomenal. Her name is Nancy Yates, and she'll be doing a class called Clean Sweep. Or is that Elise? Somebody's doing it. Anyway, it'll be good. And it's on the phone. You don't have to have on a bra, and you can eat cookies in the process of these teleclasses, 6 weeks. The cost is absolutely phenomenal because it's of service that they really are doing this. So go to the InnerVisions website and look at Prosper Us. And when you get a minute, go over to the Masterpiece Body Wash website and take a look at that website. All right, so that's it. That's my goodies for the year, for the new calendar change. How have you been out there? Did you miss me? Good. You should miss me. Whenever I'm not here, miss me. But I have something good for you today. Okay, get your napkin and wipe the corner of your mouth. You know, like when something's really good and tasty, because that's what I've got for you today. You know, I've been so fortunate in my life. I have been so many places. I'm not going to sing. I've been so many places in my life and time. No, I'm not going to sing. But I've been many, many places, and I've met some phenomenal people. And I love to make friends. So many years ago, years ago, back in the 90s, I had the privilege and the honor of attending school in California, the University of Santa Monica, and where I got my master's in spiritual psychology. And while there, I met a host of wonderful people. My coach, Steve Hardison, who you spoke to about coaching. I met Ron and Mary Holnick, the presidents of the University of Santa Monica, who really, I won't say they saved my life, but they gave me back my life because I had given it to so many things. And in this program that I attended at the University of Santa Monica. And this is where I met my guest today. I met him at the University of Santa Monica and also at Agape, the church of Reverend Michael Bernard Beckwith out in Los Angeles. But I think I met him at USM, and then I saw him at Agape. Anyway, my memory, it plays tricks on me. It wants me to think I don't remember. But I met this gentleman. He was an assistant in the room. And I don't know how we clicked or how we started talking. I think it was his wonderful accent that I just love. His name is Barry Selby. And we've stayed connected over these many years, as I have with many of my USMers. But recently, he contacted me and told me he had written a book. Now, I know Barry as a photographer. He is a phenomenal photographer, okay? He can make the nose hairs in your nose look good, okay? But he said he had written a book, and he sent it to me, and I read it, and I was like, oh, my God, I never knew this about this guy. You know people, and you're with people, but you don't really know everything about them. Well, Barry has written a book, and I think this is the place that we want to start this year. This year is about mastering your mind so that you can move through the many unpredictable changes of 2012. 2012 is going to be a year of change. As the Mayan calendar tells us, a year of enlightenment. And the only way you're going to get enlightened, bring the light in, is to change your mind, master your mind. So we're going to talk a lot about love and mastery and changing this year because I want to be able to support you. Anybody out there that thinks they're going to hold on to the status quo is in for a rough ride. So we don't want you to do that. Anyway, Barry wrote a book called The Rules of Romance. Okay, The Rules of Romance. A man wrote a book called The Rules of Romance. Okay, how delicious is that? I tell you, just wipe the corner of your mouth, you know, with a little drool that's coming down. A man wrote a book on the rules of romance. So my guest today is my friend, my former school buddy, but currently my friend, a phenomenal photographer, and now an author, Barry Selby. Hey, Barry.
Hey, Yonla, how are you?
I'm fine, Barry. How are you?
I'm fabulous. Thank you. It's nice to hear about me.
Are you wiping the corner of your mouth?
Attempting.
Is this This is just juicy and delicious. So I want to get in. I want to talk to you. Then I want to open up the line so that you can talk to some of the listeners, some of the men and women out there that I know are listening. Romance. So if you're in the U.S. or Canada, our number is 866-254-1579. 866-254-1579. If you're in another country, if you're in the U.K. or if you're in the Down Under, China, Japan, I love it. Papua New Guinea. I can't believe I had a listener from Papua New Guinea. Dial your international code, and I can't tell you what that is. You have to get that one. Dial your international code and then 760-918-4300. Or you can just listen. So, Barry, what is it? What is it that stuck you, struck you, came to you that made you think you needed to write a book on romance? A man writing a book on romance. Now, let's back up. Let me back up.
Okay.
Make a distinction for me and our listeners between romance and sex.
Oh, there's so many differences.
Okay, well, let's talk about those.
Yeah. Well, sex, generally speaking, is the act between two people. And sometimes for some people, it is an act versus connection. Mm-hmm. Romance is a way of being together. And also a way of living life, because you can romance life itself, even beyond relationship, although my focus is in relationship.
Okay. So then tell me what you mean when you say romance. What are you talking about?
Romance is a dance between two individuals who are in love together, who wish to share their life together, who wish to express their joy in the world that is inspiring, uplifting, and positive.
Okay, you say a dance.
Yes.
What about people that got two left feet?
let me say metaphorical. The dance
okay.
Is that, because romance isn't static. And romance isn't something you say, I'm signing up, I've got it, I'm done. It's a continual exploration of how to work together, be together, play together. That is like a dance.
Okay. And is romance missing in our relationships these days?
I won't speak for everybody. But certainly the way the media presents it, sex is much more noticeable and more the in thing than part-based romance. I mean, when they have shows on TV like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette that are a reality show, in quotes, that is supposed to be about the romantic journey because the idea is about looking for marriage and for long-term relationship, yet the focus is never on deep, connected romance. It's
right.
Missing something.
Okay, so your book, The Rules of Romance, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. I'm telling you, that is just delicious. Okay? I love it.
I was going to say one thing. You said it's called The Rules of Romance. Well, I'd like to explain that title. It's actually just called Rules of Romance.
Rules of Romance.
I have all of the rules.
Okay. Right. So that's my mistake. So it's Rules of Romance. And you can get Barry's book. You continue to listen. I'm going to give you the website in a little bit. But the rules, I mean, for me, it's like this is the stuff that relationships are made of. And I agree with you when you say that in our world today, these are not the things that are promoted. These are not the things that we're asked to look towards. But I want to look at this first one. I want to talk about your rules of romance. I invite our callers, if they've got questions about romance, or if you have your own rules of romance, give us a call. But Barry, your first rule is relationship is a spiritual practice. Treat it with devotion, discipline, responsibility, and love, and you will blossom and grow. That is beautiful. Relationship is a spiritual practice.
Yes.
Treat it with devotion, discipline, responsibility, and love, and you will blossom and grow. Talk to me about that.
Well, something
when you say,
relationship is now, I know you're always the same thing, same way I do, which is relationship, well, everything in life is a spiritual journey. And the relationship particularly is not just something you get into and do. And it's not just a physical thing. It is a spiritual practice of discipline because we get to grow in relationship. We get to express our love. And we get to watch ourselves unfold in new ways when we have a partner that shines the light on us as we shine the light on them. And there's a flow and a beauty when we take it that level versus just, okay, this is my partner. We hang out. We have sex. We do the bills and go to bed. You know, there's a spiritual level is so much richer and juicier because of that.
Mm-hmm. But when you talk, yeah, because there are bills and because there are kids and because there are family members and because we don't always recognize and understand that relationship is a spiritual practice, we get bogged down. So what are some of the things, Barry, that takes the relationship from being a spiritual practice into being, you know, unromantic, boring, dreary, and whatever else?
Well, because we forget. And sometimes because like a spiritual practice such as meditation or prayer or those sort of things, even going to yoga is something we need to remember to do. And in a relationship, it's sometimes easy to forget that we can make it a good thing. So we can have practices of gratitude. We can have practices of service to each other, of even worshiping each other in a conscious sense, not idol worship, but worship in terms of honoring each other. And those are where the spiritual connection grows from.
So, all right, let's look at another rule. I have another juicy question I want to ask you. Okay. Let me go to three, because I think many men would need to hear this. It says freedom is a primary quality in authentic relationship. Freedom to express, freedom to grow, freedom to love beyond limits and more. And I've spoken to many women on this radio program whose partners have loved beyond the limits of their relationship. That they've been loving somebody else. You know, that is a true relationship killer. So what do you mean when you say freedom to love beyond limits and more? What does that mean?
There's a, I won't say permission is almost the word I wanted to use, but when you choose to enter a relationship with somebody and you commit to that monogamous deep connection, there's a freedom to explore how much you can love that person that without that framework in place may not be so easy to do. Some people like to think they can love everybody. I'm not a proponent of that. I'm very much about monogamy and connection, and the depth that you can go to with one person will take you a lifetime. And so the depth of connection in opening up to a deeper level of love, of like a flower blossoming, the opening that you can have, men and women, to love more fully, to love more unconditionally, to love every part of yourself and your partner, that's the freedom I'm talking about.
Okay, but help me then, because I've always thought of romance as like, you know, you woo me, the cards and the flowers and the candy and the, you know, the playing and tickling and those kinds of romance. It sounds like you're talking about something much deeper than that.
Well, to be honest, rules of romance is a great way to get people in the door.
Okay.
because I do go deeper than that, but it's still romance because it's about, I call romance the idea of romantic relationship. And all these qualities are part of being in a relationship deeper and deeper and deeper. And it certainly makes the romance stronger and richer and more flavorful.
So if the romance has fallen out of your relationship, will rules of romance help us bring it back in? Will it help us reconnect? Will it help us do something to make this boring, dried up relationship a little more lively?
Yes, there are definitely different rules in the book that would assist that. Some relationships, I'm not going to guarantee, will be solved or retrieved with this book. However, certainly in the latter part of the book, I talk about the connection of the polarity between the male and female energies. Masculine and feminine energies, which can be what recharges the juice in a relationship. But there's many parts that do help that, yes.
So you're talking about relationship as the foundation of how we come together and how we be together and that kind of thing. And so very often I think we get caught up in all of the responsibilities and roles and we forget about romance. But let's talk to Denise. Denise is in North Carolina. And she's asking, does romance have to be evident in the beginning or can it grow? So, Denise, welcome to the show. Has anybody told you that they love you today?
No.
Well, let me be the first to say I love you today, and there's absolutely nothing you can do about that.
Well, thank you so much. I love you, too.
And my guest is Barry. He's there.
Hello, Barry.
Hi, Denise.
Hi. Thank you so much. This is a great topic, and I have a question. I am dating. I'm loving the process. I, however, am noticing, as far as the romance part, I'm trying to connect with men and seeing whether or not it's there. I'm not talking about the wooing and the pursuing. I'm talking about the emotional availability that is going to need to be there. And is it something that if it's not there and you're not seeing that evidence of a dance, that is that something that you've either or they've connected with the wrong person or you really need to give it time? And I'm talking about that romance that you're referring to, that deepness. And sometimes whenever I'm taking a step, there's attraction and so forth, but I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about that deepness. And some people may have baggage or be emotionally unavailable, but do you just kind of walk away from that?
There's a lot in that.
Yeah. So I hear about five questions. Okay. This deep connection that you're saying, should it be there initially or will it grow? You're also asking if people have baggage and issues, should you, still stay in that or should you leave or leave it alone? And there was another one, but those two are good. This connection that you're talking about, is it there in the beginning or does it grow?
For most people, it's something that does mature and grow. It's not usually there from the moment you meet somebody. I mean, there is the classic love at first sight. And sometimes that's just a short-lived experience. It's the attraction that shows up. Romance is something that is grown between two people. It's something that people can be naturally in their lives, although I wish there was more of it, frankly. But for many of us, we've had that hidden away till we meet someone we can slowly bring it out with, so it will take some time. And usually it is something that does evolve over time.
Okay. And what about these issues and baggage things that she's talking about?
Yeah, I have a few of those rules in my book, too, which is, to put it simply, we are human most of the time in our lives, and we carry forward things from the past we may not have resolved, be it patterns or beliefs or hurts or pains, which are the baggage we tend to carry with us. And most of us tend to suppress it during life because it doesn't serve us in any way, so we try to avoid it. And our next relationship, quite often, is the can opener that opens you back up again. So what happens is our past baggage can reveal itself in our next relationship. The key to remember is that baggage is ours, not our partner's. So even if our new partner brings it up in us, we need to face it and deal with it before we can move forward fully expressing our love. And
wait a minute. Hold up.
Oh, yes.
Hold up.
Yes.
Wait a minute. I know you're going to make my phones ring off the hook. The baggage is not our partner's, it's ours. Is that what you're saying? So if my partner is mean and selfish and nasty, that's not their baggage, that's my baggage?
Oh, that's not what I'm saying. No. Let me clarify.
Okay,
Thank you for asking that. What I'm saying is, though, if we have walked into a relationship where we've been abused and hurt before because our partners in the past did that, until we make peace and heal that part, we tend to attract someone who repeats that with us. Now, it's their pattern shoes, too, but we will participate in the game with them that way. So it's our responsibility to heal our own hurts so that we don't look for someone to fill them up again. That's the recycling of patterns. It doesn't help anybody.
And isn't it true, this is what I find to be true, Denise and Barry, is that when you are in loving or romantic relationship, everything that is unloving and unromantic about you will rise to the surface. It'll rise right to the surface. And you're wondering, why is my mouth saying these things? Why am I acting this way? Where did that come from? So for me, the greater the romance and the deeper the love, the deeper the connection, the more ugliness is going to rise to the surface.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
Thank you, Denise.
Thank you.
All righty. So, Barry, listen, we're on radio and I have to take a break. I don't know if we have bills to pay. Most radio hosts will say I got to pay the bills, but I don't have any bills. I came into the new year with no bills. Hallelujah. But for all of you out there listening, you got questions about romance and love and connection, stay tuned. Barry and I will be right back.
To get through what you're going through. Welcome to Peace from Broken Pieces with Iyanla Van Zandt.
Welcome back. My guest today is Barry Selby, and we're talking about rules of romance. So if you want more romance in your relationship, or if your relationship is romance-less, or if you want to know how to create and experience romance, whether you're in or not in a relationship, this is the topic for you. We're going to go right back to the phones. We're going to talk to Eva in Sweden. Eva says that she's in a good relationship for about a year now, but she's discovered that her partner has been going to strip clubs. Welcome to the show, Eva. Has anybody told you they love you today?
Not yet.
No? Well, good morning, and I love you today, and there's nothing you can do about that.
Thank you, Anna. So
I tell
am
me
actually
how...
a former student of yours.
Yes, I know who you are, my love.
Oh, you are.
Yes. So you're now in this relationship, and tell me how his attending strip clubs has put a damper on your romance.
I shouldn't say attending. I think it was he's been in my life almost for a year, and it's been the most fantastic relationship I've ever been in. So I've discovered he was away, you know, to Europe this summer for 4 days, and I just found a receipt from that trip that he had been to a strip club, and they also had ordered lap dances. And
that was on the receipt?
Yeah, 10 lap dances.
I would love to see a receipt that said lap dance. How much did it cost?
Oh, you know, it was inflatious. I don't know what the actual, you know, value
is. Oh, my God.
But, you know,
so what's your challenge with it? What is your challenge?
I'm completely shocked that he actually attended one. And if you're a group of guys, I can see that happens, but do you really need to order, you know, to have this other woman, this naked woman, you know, and you're in a relationship supposed to be kind of in love. And I just find this, you know, to hire another woman and having her, you know, he's a father too, he has a daughter. I'm so disgusted by it.
Well, rule number 19 says never presume you know everything about your partner because you don't. Yeah. Barry, how would you respond to Eva and her concern about the lap dance on the receipt?
Hi, Eva. How are you?
Hi. I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm good. There's more than one answer to this question because it can be a therapeutic level question, but the truth comes down to if you feel threatened by this, there's something for you to look at. However, if he hasn't been honest with you, that's something you should talk to him about, because it's concerned more about the honesty, I would say, than what actually happened. If he didn't even tell you, there's something off with that. Because if he told you that I was feeling lonely and I did this,
I couldn't quite hear you, Barry. What did you just say? I should ask. Because that's the thing, what I'm asking. Like, I don't know what kind of conversation to have with him about this.
Well, it sounds like he didn't tell you this happened.
No, he didn't. I discovered it. I was helping him clean up the clutter in his kitchen.
Okay. Well, that's where the question is for me, is one of trust more than actually what happened. Because he didn't communicate that to you, because it's something you feel violated by it.
Yeah.
And it's something you want to talk to him from a place of heart, honestly, not like you did something wrong and you judged, because that's not serving it, serving anybody's purpose. But if you ask him what happened and you like what's going on, because you feel like you want this relationship to go further, but this is a blockage on that. And it's up to him to choose in.
Well, you know, I'm going to roll the tape back a little bit, because I would first say that, Eva, I would encourage you to ask yourself, why is this a problem for you? What does this trigger up for you? And is this opening up your baggage and your issues? Because if you don't clear that within yourself, when you speak to him, it's going to be a battle. Because he did this, would you say, Croatia?
Yeah, in Croatia.
Well, it's obvious he's not going back over there. So now if you want to find out whether or not this is something he does regularly because it's a financial issue, it's a hygiene issue, it's a whatever, I think you can ask those questions like Barry said, because he didn't raise it with you. I'm not sure there are many men who would come home and say, excuse me, I went to the strip club and I had a lap dance. Here's the receipt.
Yeah, no, nobody.
I'm not sure there are too many men who would say that. But why is this a problem for you?
I find it's dishonesty. I like if this is sort of this is not sort of sustaining our connection. It's not going to make me want to be closer to him after this. I feel violated. There's so many levels that I feel like it's wrong.
Yeah, but that's a judgment. Wrong is a judgment. If he went over there, it sounds like for business, and he's with a group of guys, how do you know he didn't just escort the client and maybe sat there, sick to his stomach?
He was there on vacation.
Oh, vacation. Okay.
They were drunk. They were having, a guy's time.
So why do you feel violated by a guy's time? Suppose it's just a lapse in judgment, that he did something that was just stupid. Because, sometimes your partners have a tendency to lose the knowledge of themselves and do stupid things. What if it was that? Why? How did it get from I feel violated? He went to a strip club and I feel violated. How did it get there?
It's a good question. I am so mad. I have nothing good to say, so I can't speak to him because I just want to hurt him back.
Right.
Okay, so now this is about your stuff. This is not about him and the lap dance on the receipt. Would you say, Barry?
This is if it's your hurt, you're feeling that vengeful. There's a lot more to it than just that time. There's something deeper going on for you, it sounds like.
And I agree with you on that. But still, I don't feel like, if you're down and you're having a hard time and you're not newly in love, if you've been married for 15 years and your relationship is going down the toilet and you want to go out and forget about everything. But that's not the situation. I kind of have, I guess it's a judgment. I don't feel like if two people are in love that the guy needs to go and have, lap dances.
Well, suppose he feels that having a lap dance is going to intensify his love for you.
Do you believe that?
Yeah, I personally would be so hysterical in laughter that he went somewhere and did a lap. Can you do a lap dance? Do you know how to lap dance? See, my theory is this. This is my theory, but I'm old. Okay. Pay me no mind. My theory is this. When he looks somewhere, I look to see what he's looking at so that I can do it better. When he's asking for something, I listen to what he's asking for so that I can do it better. And instead of not speaking to him, I would be practicing my lap dance skills. You want a lap dance, boo? I got a lap dance for you. Okay. Because it just feels to me like you have so many stories attached to this that there's no way he can make it better. What is it that you want him to do, Eva, that will make it better? What can he do to make it better? He already didn't tell you. So even if he acknowledges it now, is that going to make it better? Because it sounds to me like you're stuck in, he didn't tell me. Okay, so if he tells you now, if you raise it with him and he said, this is something guys do, that's not going to make, what can he do to make it better for you?
I don't know at this moment. I really don't know. I just feel so, I think the trust somehow is broken. How do you distinguish monogamy? You have a naked woman in your lap rubbing herself all over you. I mean, the only thing that is different is penetration. So
Well, here's what I sense. Here's what I sense, and I could be totally wrong. I am willing to be wrong. I sense that you've had a series of string experiences with relationships that break down, and that you are going to create a breakdown in this relationship so that you get to be right about the fact that you never can have a good relationship. And you're going to make it about him, when the truth is there's nobody in the room but you and God. This is about you. So I really want to encourage you to work with yourself. And then if you eventually want to ask him, listen, I found this receipt with a lap dance thing on it. I mean, is this something that you do regularly? See, that's what I want to know, because it has financial implications for me.
No, it's not something he does regularly. No.
Well, how do you know that? How do you? Rule number 19. Never presume you know everything about your partner, because you don't.
Yeah, I mean, he told me when I showed him this and asked him about it, he said it happened that time, so this summer.
Oh, so you did ask him about it?
Yeah, no, I did bring it up. I showed him the receipt, yes.
And what did he say?
He said that they were this summer, and they were a group of guys that were out drunk, and they ended up in a strip club. And then, you know, they had 10 lap dances on the receipt.
Barry.
Yes.
I'm going to
complexion on it.
Okay, what is the new complexion?
Well, the complexion is that there's more information now. Now, first of all, again, back to the beginning, Eva has you. There's something in you yet to be resolved. That we covered.
Yeah.
The second part is, though, if he is in a place where he doesn't even care about it, that can be simply that it was something happened when he was drunk and he's over it and he wants to move on and you maybe are holding on to it. Or
this just happened this weekend. It just came up this weekend,
Then it sounds like you're having a complete communication with him. But first, as Jana said, your work is on yourself first. So you do not throw all your old baggages up of his issue. Yeah. Where you get to share from where you're present to in your own heart, saying this, you know, if it hurt you, yes, share that. But from the place of being present with it versus the history of it. Yeah. So you can then say, okay, now where do we go from here? And make conscious choices rather than reactions.
Yeah.
And practice your lap dance skills. He likes lap dances. So I would have me a chair and a whip right now. Thank you, Eva.
Yes, thank you, Anna.
All righty. Let's go to Deb in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And Deb says that her spiritual life and her romantic life are at odds, and she wants to know how to balance it. Deb, welcome to the show today. Has anyone told you that they love you today?
No, not yet.
Okay, well, I love you today, Deb, just because you are. And there's absolutely nothing you can do about that. So there.
Thank you.
Tell me how your spiritual life and your romantic life are at odds, because I've got a rule for you right here in this book. I know it's right here.
Well, I was listening to your show, and when he said that, I thought, well, that's interesting, because I've always felt that once I get rolling in my spiritual life, some guy comes along, and then that part of my life gets neglected, and I get all tangled up in kind of recreating myself in that relationship, and when it ends, I go back to my spiritual life, and I'll be 59 in April, so I've been doing this for a while, and I just never realized this morning how that part of my life have always been at opposite ends of the spectrum, and I've never had a spiritual romantic relationship, and even when I thought I did, it really was not, you know, when the true colors came through, it was not... And I keep on going back. So now I'm at a point where thinking, I'm just going to stay in my spiritual world, and I'm just going to hang up that romantic thing and leave it alone.
Oh, rule number 14. Rule number 14 says, know your core values. Know what makes you tick. Stay true to your heart and allow your partner to know you authentically and honestly. Is that a good rule for her?
I think it's perfect, because it comes back to, if you move into a relationship and you change to fit your partner, then you've already given yourself up. And you're not supporting who you are. And your spiritual practice is first and foremost to you. And my belief is that when your spiritual practice is strong, you become more attractive in the world, more noticed in the world. So if you draw to you someone from that perspective, why would you then change how you are to be with them versus have them come to you the way you already are and they love you as you are, attracted to you as you are, and then include that? So yes, indeed, they are meant to work together, and it's about continuing to honor your practices, your beliefs, your way of being. When the partner finds you that way, they stay with you that way, and then it works. So yes, know your core values.
Deb, what is it about your spiritual life that gets kicked to the curb when you meet someone?
Well, it seems like that I seem to attract people who like to my mother was an alcoholic, and she was addicted to pain prescriptions. And evidently, she had a lot of secrets and things that we didn't know about, but her relationship with my dad was never really, really, really good. So I, you know, she used to tell me, wait till you're 40 and say no, you know, just like, you know, she's like, men are all, you know, bums and all that stuff. And I thought I had worked through some of that. But now when I look over my life, I'm thinking, well, maybe, you know, I didn't. And I feel really safe and secure in my practices of prayer and meditation and music. And I feel real protected and real loved. And when I get into a relationship, I just feel kind of, I don't know, pushed into areas that I'm either shocked with or, you know, it's just, you know, I was married for 15 years and we were in the church like Monday, you know, Sunday night groups, Wednesday, you know, Sunday morning prayer, this, you know, we were like just really hammering that whole thing. And I, you know, but it was a horrible relationship. So I had to work through, you know, a lot of that stuff. So now I'm thinking, well, now I can understand why people of the Catholic, you know, belief become nuns and priests, because it's a lot easier to, it's a lot more peaceful over there when you don't have somebody rattling your cage all the time. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe for retirement, I'm just going to be a single spiritual person and just like forget, you know, just call this romance thing not done very well and move on.
Well, do you ever invite your new partners, you know, to pray with you, meditate with you, attend the spiritual something with you, and they do?
Yeah.
And?
Yeah, that's kind of shocking. Well, I think a lot of guys go to church to pick up women, in my experience. I've gone through, like, divorce recovery and stuff like that where, you know, it was really good spiritual stuff going on, but there were also some, you know, guys that thinking, hey, you know, this is better than Match.com. Look at all these single women here, you know, they just broke up with people. You know, it's just like the tree is, like, falling with fruit. So it's just really hard for me to believe that I can be in a spiritual relationship and a romantic relationship at the same time.
So you'll never be in one. You won't be in one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, and I guess I didn't realize that today that it was even possible, which is kind of shocking.
Oh.
Well, it is definitely possible.
Because relationship is a spiritual practice. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And you get to practice all of those things, and you get to say no in a loving way, and you get to express your feelings. You get to run the risk of being vulnerable and feel protected. So you get to do all of those things in your spiritual relationship. So I want to encourage you.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that you told me if anybody said you love me today, because the first time I remember anybody ever saying that to me was a minister when I was going through a confirmation in a church.
Hmm.
And that had a big effect on me.
Wow. Well, Deb, I want to offer you www.rulesofromance.com, where you can get a copy of Barry's book so that you have a new perspective and a new perception of what a relationship is and how to do relationships. www.rulesofromance.com. Get a copy for yourself, okay?
I'll do that.
All right.
Thank you very much.
Let's go to Sherry in Toronto. What do you do when past patterns of abandonment come up in your relationships? Is it Sherry or Cheryl?
Cherie,
has anyone told you that they love you today, my love, my beloved?
Oh, no, but you can go right ahead.
Well, I love you today, my beloved, and I'm so glad that you've taken time to join us. So is this about you, patterns of abandonment?
Yes, it is, and I'm really tired. I'd like to take my running shoes off.
Oh, okay, Barry. She wants to run with you, boo.
Well, I'm glad you said you want to take the shoes off. So you want to make a change, which is wonderful. What comes out very clearly is that you are aware of this, which is a huge step to simply be aware of that practice, because a lot of people go to relationships unaware of these things running their lives. So you're way ahead of the game right now. That's
Right.
So to find that part of you, that age when you first experienced that, that really was the decision maker, because that's what happened. You decided that that's what's going to happen in the future, and you've let it run you ever since. That's the part that had the running shoes on. So now you can say and work with that part to come to peace, because you know differently now as an adult that the younger part of you is still running, and you can say, no, we have a different way of playing now.
Right.
And with coaching and guidance, you can come to terms and release that pattern once and for all, because you know truthfully for your heart that it's not part of your life anymore. That's not who you are, and you deserve a committed, consistent relationship.
Right. Now, what are some practical things that I can actually do to stop running in replacement of running?
Well, first of all, be very conscious of what's happening when you meet somebody. What comes up in your mind or in your heart or in your body when you meet somebody? Do you start running fear or do you start running something else? And being aware of that, you can make a different choice every single moment. And
right.
It can be scary. It can definitely be scary, I understand. But taking the steps where you're aware of what's happening versus being an autopilot with those shoes on.
Right.
Having that awareness means you can make different choices every step of the way and go, you know, I know this feels scary, and I remember in the past this was different. I'm trying something different today. I'm looking a different way now.
Okay. The fears that come up for me is I'm not going to get what I want.
Which, as you know, I said earlier, the other person is this true, that that's what you believe, you'll get that.
Well, what, are you clear about what you want when you go into a relationship?
Well, I want intimacy, but somehow the relationship that I attract, I'll have someone who will tell me point blank that I have a fear or they have a fear of intimacy, and then I want
okay,
to
so
the
goodbye.
Other way.
Bless your pointed head, and you can go now. See ya.
Yeah. You can choose someone else.
Yeah. You know, another two members of my faculty about getting ready to do another course, a teleclass, so you can do it from wherever you are in the world. And it's called Love Without Limits. Ken and Renee Kaiser, they're a married couple, and they're doing a teleclass dealing with just this issue, patterns and issues and the baggage that comes up in our relationships that we don't know how to break down. So that might be something you want to take a look at. I think it begins on January 30th. And they're really, really great to help you do the practical steps, really help. Grateful about, really good about supporting you and recognizing where the limitation came from, what it is, and how you can release it. The class is Love Without Limits, and you can find out about it at my website, in addition to reading Barry's book. But if you really want some coaching support and guidance, I think this little 6-week thing might be something good for you. So go to the website, www.innervisionsworldwide.com. Under Life Academy, look for Love Without Limits. And also go to www.rulesofromance and get a copy of Barry's book.
Okay, beautiful.
All right.
Thank you so much for taking my call today.
Thank you. So, Barry, it's been my joy to spend this time with you and for
Likewise.
All of our listeners out there. Rules of Romance, 50 Ways to Love Your Lover. Rule number 11 says, if you're looking for someone else to fill you up, you will never be filled because it's an inside job. So these are all good little hints and tips and rules to create more love in your life. You can get a copy of Barry's book at www.rulesofromance.com. Barry, thank you for being with me today.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Thank you, Ayanla.
Thank you. And to all my listeners out there, I'll be back again next week. In the meantime, don't forget, we've got some wonderful teleclasses coming up. Visit the Inner Visions website. Sign up for your daily StimuMail. Get your copy of the Golden Key Prayer Process. And if you're out there today and no one has told you that they love you, let me be the first to say I love you today, and there's nothing you can do about that. I'm out. Ciao.